Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, I'm going to go through trade targets. I'll probably do another episode right before the deadline, and this will have some similarities to a recent YouTube video we did, so check that out on the Wolf Sports YouTube channel. But I wanted to hit on some of my favorite targets here. Things will, of course, vary depending on your situation. Maybe you're 5-1 and can look forward to playoffs, or are 2-4 and need to make some moves to help you now. But at quarterback, someone I've mentioned a bunch that I would be looking to acquire is Bo Nix. Last week in London was not a good game for the Denver offense, but Nix was sharp in the first half. For some reason, Sean Payton's play calling sort of got out of whack in the second half, and he seemed to take the ball out of Nix's hands too much. But I think that will change moving forward. Concerns about the Broncos not really putting enough around Nix in the offseason still lingers, but they do have plenty of speed with Marvin Mims Jr. and Troy Franklin. So we'll see if the downfield shots start connecting, and we know what Nix can do as a runner. So two good matchups back at home this week against the Giants and the next week versus Dallas. Then a tougher one in Houston in week 9. But after that, he'll face the Raiders twice, the Chiefs twice, including Christmas night in the Fantasy Championship, the Commanders in a potential shootout in week 13, and before week 17 in the Fantasy Playoffs, they take on the Packers and Jaguars. So based on the slower start, as more of a high-end QB2, he's someone I would look to invest in as a top 6-8 quarterback the rest of the way. Aside from that at quarterback, there isn't really a huge target I would go after. I guess Caleb Williams would be the one, if he's still not viewed as a QB1 in your league. Over the next 4 weeks, he gets a great schedule, facing the Saints, Ravens, Bengals, and Giants. It does get a lot tougher down the stretch, but if you need a QB1 to help boost you in a playoff race, I like how things set up for Caleb over the next few games, and he's another option that can do damage with his legs, and should only gain more comfort in Ben Johnson's offense as the season progresses. At running back, the best name here is obviously Derrick Henry. Maybe the buy low window is closed, with the Ravens getting back to feeding him in the loss to the Rams. He had 18 carries for 90 yards in the first half before Baltimore struggled to move the ball in the second half, but it's clear the Ravens want to feed him, and after the bye this week, he'll get Lamar Jackson back, and the schedule sets up perfectly, especially in week 8 and week 9, facing the Bears and Dolphins as two of the worst run defenses in the league. And then after that, we'll be hitting November, and we know Henry can be a force as the weather gets colder, so I think it's worth making a big swing for him. And we have Henry as our overall RB4 the rest of the way. If you want basically a miniature Derrick Henry, then I think the buy low window after a quiet game in week 6 is open for Quinshon Judkins. Pittsburgh did a great job playing run defense last week, but they weren't really tested. Dylan Gabriel threw it 52 times compared to just 12 carries for Judkins. So that's the danger here with the rookie playing in one of the league's worst offenses. But this would be a talent-based buy. Judkins is an absolute monster when he gets going. I don't think Cleveland will go with the pass-heavy offense too much in the future after it didn't work out on Sunday. And at some point, it sounds like we'll see Shedeur Sanders, and the Browns will apparently shift their offense when Shedeur takes over, which I think would be a better fit for Judkins' skill set. Probably more of a play-action-based attack with more stuff under center. But this week is a total blow-up spot versus the Dolphins, and Judkins has plenty of good matchups the rest of the way. He will face Pittsburgh again in Week 17, so it could be tough sledding in the Fantasy Championship. But last week created the perfect buy-low window, and I would want to get Judkins as a rest of season RB1. For the other buys at running back, just quickly, it would be a buy-high for Rico Dowdle, but I think he's still being undervalued. He should be a low-end RB2 at least the rest of the way, and some still believe that Chuba Hubbard will be the starter when he's healthy. Head coach Dave Canales said we'll see when asked about it, but I don't see any way Dowdle wouldn't be the lead back after a historic 2-game stretch. So if someone's looking to sell high on him, he could still be worth the price as a borderline top 20 option. And Travion Henderson would be a talent-based trade target. Still limited work for the Patriots. He handled 10 touches last week, but he has major big play ability, so maybe he'll break a long gain, and that could open the door for more opportunities. And the rookie only has the fumble-prone Ramondre Stevenson ahead of him, with Antonio Gibson done for the season, so definitely a good talent-based buy low. And then these guys might not be rostered, but actually some good investments to make in terms of running back stashes, with Brian Robinson Jr., Tyrone Tracy Jr., Joe Mixon, Blake Corum, Caleb Johnson, Kyle Manungai look good on Monday night, and Isaiah Davis with Breece Hall being a potential trade target in real life are all guys I would look to invest in if you have the roster space, so keep that in mind. At wide receiver, we have Rashee Rice as a rest of the season wide receiver 1. I would assume a lot of leagues view him lower than that, but he still might be tough to acquire with the owner who has him having held him for 6 weeks already. But if he's not viewed as a wide receiver 1 for some reason, Rice could pay huge dividends in a trade, and I expect he'll be the centerpiece of the Kansas City offense moving forward. Right behind him in our rest of the season rankings as a wide receiver 13 We have DK Metcalf, who is still viewed as more of a low-end wide receiver two by many, but he scored a touchdown in four straight games, was missed on another would-be deep score last week, so the connection with Aaron Rodgers will continue to grow. And just thinking about it at the simplest level, Rodgers has preferred throwing to wide receivers throughout his career, and Metcalf, especially with Calvin Austin out, is the only proven wideout for Pittsburgh, so he should be more of a borderline wide receiver one, wide receiver two, and I think he can probably be acquired in a trade for less than that. And Jameson Williams is another guy we've mentioned quite a bit. He had a good game on Sunday night with 66 yards and a touchdown. This week, another good spot for him, facing a Tampa Bay defense that could get healthier on the back end, but will probably play man coverage and give some one-on-one opportunities for him. So JMO should be a high-end wide receiver too, and similar to Metcalf, most don't view him that highly. And then the fourth guy I'll mention at wide receiver is Keon Coleman. This could even be an option where, with the Bills heading into the bye, he simply dropped due to five straight quiet weeks since what looked like a breakout opener. But Sean McDermott said the Bills have to work from ground zero to get on track as a team coming out of the bye. And Monday night's loss with Dalton Kincaid out showed that Buffalo needs others to step up for Josh Allen. So I think Coleman will be one of those guys. Maybe the group, instead of being too spread the wealth, will focus around Kincaid and Coleman, along with obviously James Cook. And the talent isn't in question for Coleman, so definitely someone to consider if you need help at wide receiver. And then just a couple of names I'll mention for this week to consider if you need a spot start in lineups. Kendrick Bourne's obviously been on fire, so even if Ricky Pearsall is back, Bourne should be worth starting as a flex option. And with Emeka Ebuka and Chris Godwin both set to miss Monday's game versus Detroit, we have Tez Johnson as a top 40 option at wide receiver, so he could be a pivot for you if you're dealing with injuries. Maybe this week CeeDee Lamb, it sounds like he'll come back, but if he's an inactive and you need to pivot, Johnson would be a great target and carries nice upside, as we saw last week in Tampa Bay's offense. And quickly at tight end, because I touched on this last week, so I'll mention it again, but Isaiah Likely and Harold Fannin Jr. are both talent-based investments to make and might even be available on the waiver wire, especially Likely, considering the limited production thus far. But Mark Andrews could be traded for Baltimore, David Njoku could be traded for Cleveland, so that would open the door for major production out of both Likely and Fannin. So even if you have a clear start at tight end, each guy is worth investing in as potential bargains. And it's also been encouraging to see Evan Engram have increased involvement over the past couple of weeks. And this week, I like him to do well versus his former team in the Giants as Denver tries to spark the offense. So that will conclude this episode. You can find our full rest of season rankings, which can essentially be used as a trade chart, on wolfsports.com. And of course, our weekly rankings as well. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Don Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.